Hello, and today at Uncle Data we have Reiko Limmert, who's CEO and co-founder of Lytech. And Lytech is a company that gives you data quality management, data observability, and all of the other things what we're going to talk with Reiko during this podcast. So before we dive into, you know, the more technicalities or like the interesting, it's interesting for me and as well for the listeners to, you know, to know who's the, you know, who's the guest in the podcast. So Reiko, could you give an introduction about yourself?
Yeah. Hi. First of all, thanks for having me. So my name is Reiko Limmert. I am one of the co-founders at an Estonian data startup called Lytech, where I have been part of a team building a data observability solution for the past 4 years now. And I have background in data warehousing, having worked in the banking sector and telecommunications as a tester, developer, and also an architect. Yeah.
Mm. So how did you, you know, you mentioned like data quality assurance, I guess, was also part of your work. And looking, you know, through your experiences, right, I see, you know, that you're very heavily were involved in actually data quality, right?
So yeah, I started my career working in a bank as a data warehouse tester. It kind of happened by chance. I applied for a trainee job, actually. At that point, I didn't even know what a data warehouse was. But yeah, I got the trainee job, and my job was to ensure that all new scripts and ETL processes run in production environment are validated from the technical side, and also from the business side, working together with data stewards. To get input on specific business rules. And to create test cases, run them and create test reports, we were using an kind of in-house solution to automate some of that process. And I was actually also part of a team developing this application in-house. So I learned a lot about how to formulate test cases for data and also about automating those test cases in terms of test generation, executions, and analysis. And when I left the bank, I started working for a telco, and there was a similar need for a test automation solution. So also at that time, I was choosing a topic for my master thesis. So putting these two together, I decided to write a thesis on data warehouse testing or data warehouse test automation. And a part of that was developing a solution for, say, telco. So I kind of quickly realized that there would be no point in developing another in-house solution, but rather create a kind of universal application that could be applied to almost any data warehouse for any company. So in conclusion, I wouldn't say that my career took me to data observability, but rather that I started my career in data observability and have never left.
Ah, nice. Okay. So my question is, you know, like, I guess, you know, some of the folks from data in general sees, you know, as like data quality or like data testing as like mundane, or in some cases, you know, actually like the boring part of, you know, it's not using, you know, the shiny new tools, shiny frameworks or something like that, right? So what drives you actually, you know, in this area? And yeah, what keeps you moving forward?
Yeah. So I have this amazing opportunity to basically meet new companies every week to discuss their data quality processes. And there's always something new to learn, as just even purely the technical stacks, they're just so different. These days, a lot of companies are looking into data observability as the data becomes more and more important to them. They realize that being data-driven is only possible if you can actually trust that data, right? And the market interest has also grown a lot in the past few years. There's even a European Data Governance Act that was entered into force in 2022 for government entities that has resulted in opportunity for me to work together with government entities here in Estonia as well. So I would say that even though some bigger companies, especially in the financial sector, focused on data quality and observability for a while now, it is still a very new market with very much to explore.
But that's true. Like I think, like I checked some stats, right? That basically, like being data driven were like the focus of, like, right during the pandemic with COVID, right? Everyone noticed, like, you know, how can we extract insights, how we can make our business, you know, propel faster in these tough times. And then the garbage in, garbage out comes in the play. Okay, we need to fix that. And we started to see like a lot of tools, a lot of different frameworks come into actually for that niche. And if I'm not mistaken, it's actually should be like 10 billion, I guess, CAGR. Like I specifically checked the number for when I was writing a post, I think like during my one of the checks about specifically about data quality. And it's like in general, it should be quite rapidly growing over the year. And that's the most insane thing, right? With the LLMs, we have LLMs in place, right? And they have to be trained on quite high quality data, so it wouldn't, you know, go on the crazy assumptions and whatnot. And of course, there are other issues, but anyway. But yeah, that's the peak and the rise of interest. It's what I guess drives the whole market in general. But just to, you know, clear the air for people who might have misconceptions, actually. So what is actually data observability? What's the difference on the terms from data quality, data validation, and these kind of things?
Yeah. So data observability is basically the company's ability to have an overview and understanding of data, the quality and health of the data, and also the processes, including workflows and pipelines, to ensure that the data is accurate and usable. Data observability, in a sense, is a kind of broader concept, I would say. In addition to data monitoring and management, it also includes relationships in data, historical changes and patterns, even anomaly detection. And it is very much focused on collaboration as well across multiple systems and different stakeholders for data. And in general, I think data observability provides a user's actual insights and understanding in data and these changes.
So it's actually like it's like putting the pieces, like you mentioned, data monitoring, data management, and everything into one single plane where, you know, you as a company, like employee or like the person who's responsible, can go in and actually see what's happening with your data, with the process and everything in regards to that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Contains of multiple components, to say.
Okay. Continuing on that path, right? We covered some of the components, actually, like data monitoring, right? Data management. Are there any other components we missed or like we want to like actually add for the people to actually know, you know, more pieces of the puzzle?
Yeah. So first of all, data observability is not just the tooling, also the defined processes on how to manage data and how to utilize the technical solutions. And very importantly, it's also the general mindset, the decision to take on data quality and data management and to instruct people or responsible users to invest their time into it. The technical solutions, in my mind, consists of multiple main components, such as data validation. So executing specific test cases for data sets to validate business rules, conduct unit testing, regression testing, and so on. And I would say, at least in my experience, that's the most important part of ensuring data quality, as it directly defines whether the data has in it or not. Then, of course, there's data cataloging with business glossary to have an overview of existing data with like technical descriptions and business definitions. Responsible users, access levels, and the ability to search for attributes across multiple systems. The catalog, of course, should be linked to data quality results as well, and resulting in the metrics available for each table and attribute in the catalog. Then there's, of course, data profiling to get insights on the data, identify patterns, and detect different kinds of deviations and anomalies in data. This also helps people working with data to have an kind of overview of values available in the data set, improving their workflow. And last but not least, data lineage. to have an overview of the origin of data and where specific data is used, and also to see different kinds of dependencies and impact on changes to be made when doing new developments.
Okay, that's quite a lot, actually, you know, to just grasp in, because like it touches all of the areas of like, you know, your general day-to-day data job in general, right? So that's the fun part, I guess. So you mentioned, like, you know, about the EU, the law about, you know, the observability, right? You mentioned talking about, you know, the like organizations, like you're talking and meeting and discussing, you know, data quality things with them. So my question is, so what are some common challenges for the organizations actually when they try to implement some of these practices? Because also, let's talk about the practices, how they do, but that's after.
Yeah, so I think the most difficult part when implementing new practices is the mindset. So starting with new processes, often new application, it requires resources to, first of all, implement those solutions, and companies often see the short-term investment rather than the long-term return. So it's very common for data engineers and stewards to validate data manually, use like sample data sets, and do only ad hoc testing. And by having this approach, a lot of time is wasted on like mundane tasks that are easily automated and can be run systematically, saving time in long term. So it does not help that very often the companies simply lack of resources due to engineers being overwhelmed with other projects. So this creates a kind of cycle where there are not enough resources to implement new practices to free up resources. And also a difficult challenge is finding the right technical solutions as well. So there are multiple solutions available in the market, with most of them being catered for large enterprises, many large enterprises, leaving smaller companies left with like open source frameworks, which can be limited and difficult to use, especially for the business side, which then, of course, reduces all kinds of collaboration between the IT and the business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because for me, like I had this like concept in my mind that actually is like the tooling is, you know, just the tool, like the small problem, right? To see what works for you or not. But the biggest issue is that you mentioned, you know, like the mindset in the company, right? Because everyone wants to say we're data-driven, we're doing, you know, data things. But no one wants actually to do it. That's the interesting part, right? Because I saw a bunch of memes like, oh, who wants to be data-driven? Multiple hands up. Who wants to, you know, do data quality things? No one raises hands. I'm like, that's exactly how it goes, right? No one wants to do like these kind of things because it's in a way hard and complex, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have to know your tables, your definitions. You have to know a lot of business in general to actually connect the dots and make the solution work right, right?
Yep, exactly. Yep. Data quality should be definitely approached proactively. Companies often look into data observability solutions when the data has already had some negative, often critical impact on business. So I always like to refer to a simple 1 to 10 to 100 rule, meaning if you do not focus on data quality today, it will be 10 times as expensive to fix the issues later on. And if you don't fix the issues, it's a 100 times more expensive. So if your company has not yet implemented any data observability processes, but there are already problems with data, then my advice is to start looking into possible solution today.
Okay. Does it actually make sense for every company actually to look into data observability? Because I guess it makes sense, like you mentioned, like the big enterprises, right? For them, it mm-hmm. makes sense. They have a lot of things moving, you know, and a lot of processes or decisions are made on that data, right? But for some companies, it might not make sense, you know. Maybe there's some kind of a relation between some of the other things. Or like how to for the company to define if they actually need to start looking into data observability now or at some point mm-hmm. in the future.
Yeah, so I guess the importance is derived for multiple aspects. For example, like the volume of data, the amount of different systems and databases, the criticality or impact of business. So while some smaller companies, let's say, for example, manufacturing companies with a few daily and monthly reports might not need a separate process and platform for data observability, then like banks that are obligated to send reports to central bank or government entities who are regulated by legal acts must have these processes and technical solutions in place to avoid costly penalties and even reputational damage. And of course, at some point, companies dependent on data, whether it is like customer interaction, marketing campaigns, product development, or anything else, cannot successfully do these operations if they have no ability to measure whether the data is accurate or whether it can be trusted. You know, if you have a previous month report and current month report, and there are some very drastic change, like inconsistencies between them, then you wouldn't even know which one to trust. So at that point, I think it is, if you haven't yet started, it is a good point to start.
Okay. Are there any some specific prerequisites for the companies actually when they start thinking about data observability, you know, that they should do before actually involving in it? Like, I don't know, some specific rules in the company inside or like, you know, responsible people, because you mentioned like data stewards, you know, all the data governance parts, right? Then we have data engineers who are like actually implementing some, you know, tests on the data sets and whatnot. Are there any some hard or like, you know, soft requirements before starting this?
First of all, I say it is quite difficult to say when exactly to start. For larger companies with tens or hundreds of sources for their data warehouse, it is quite a necessity to have it already in place. For smaller companies, there might not be a need for like data lineage or data catalog, but having those initial test cases for business critical data and checks for data loading and transformations early on will save a lot of time. And from there, it is kind of a matter of time when collaborating between business and IT needs a common data catalog platform, which at that time already has business rules and test cases defined, giving users a kind of good overview of data quality metrics. So I wouldn't say there are a specific rules, states to wait for. My recommendation is to start early on. You don't have to start deep. You can start with small steps.
Okay, that makes sense. And as you layer go, you know, as we have at least saying in Lithuanian, right? When you start eating, you know, the appetite comes, right? So when you start, you know, doing this, you see the gaps where you need to fill, what's missing and what. So yeah, that's true. So from your experience and you're talking like with different like companies and knowing, you know, the like the broader landscape of this. So what are actual, how to say, like data validations usually created? Like, do we need to go with crazy things or like what's the most popular ones? What have you noticed?
Yeah, so the data validations can be purely technical, such as checking for whether any data exists, if there are duplications, if there are null columns, checking for data model to be according to the rules, so most commonly prefixes, suffixes, comments from metadata. This is often tied to unit testing as well, where we will apply specific set of test cases on specific units, in this case, database tables. Of course, business rule validations. So when analysts can define very specific rules about the data, such as range of values that can only exist with specific filters. There is regression testing to ensure that new changes in data have not impacted old previously defined rules. Of course, ETL and pipeline testing to verify that data has been loaded correctly. There is nothing missing. Data is according to average volumes, for example. And of course, data reconciliation testing as well. So validating that there are no inconsistencies between two data sets, most commonly source versus target or development environment versus live environment, for example.
When you mentioned like, you know, the source and like, you know, the target matching on the, and like the differential tests and like these things, how many times I have missed that on like when you know you do initial check on the from loading from source to target, and then you do some multiple transformations from the target on the other things, and then you end up with two reports that have completely different numbers, and then users comes to you and complain like, what's happening? Yeah, but I have tested it. It's okay there. And then you miss something like that, on this. So like the referential or like the integrity tests, like I think are actually very, very crucial in general, because that's where the mistakes start. And then it piles over and like a snowball effect, like really, really neatly. Okay. So from your end, right, when you did your interview, like when you contacted and talked with different businesses, is it quite popular, or like is the like anomaly detection a thing? Because I guess everyone says that they're doing that, right? But I'm not actually convinced that everyone is doing that. And most, like, gut feeling, we're doing, counts check at best, nulls, not nulls, something like that. So is my guess here on the right side?
Yeah, there's not much testing being done, at least the companies I've talked to. Everyone is interested in starting with these processes. Everyone has data problems. But yeah, there are often cases with larger companies. They have developed in-house solutions for their needs. Often it is also solved using Tableau reports or BI reports to validate some very critical data. Having third-party standalone applications for data testing, it's not very common, but very much needed.
Nice. So kind of what I guessed, like everyone says like they're doing, but they're not. So interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm going to shift a bit to the lighter. So what should do actually, and what's the range of the services and what's your offering?
So basically we provide a data observability solution to automate data validation, detect anomalies and get insights on data quality, ensuring that analytics and decision making are accurate and reliable. We are currently focused on three main components: data validation, data profiling, and data catalog. Application itself is built as a kind of collaborative platform for centralized data quality management across all databases that are integrated with the application, ultimately saving time for its users and reducing delays in data projects as well.
Mm-hmm. So generic question, do people who has to work with LightTech have to know, some coding or whatnot? Because usually, that's where the issue starts, right? When you need to do some SQL coding or, some specific language.
Yeah. So our application is mostly SQL-based. So if you want to do those very specific test cases, you will need, SQL, SQL. But we have a lot of functionalities that are automated, especially from the data profiling side, where you can simply choose what kind of objects or what kind of columns you want to profile, and you just let the application do its work automatically. Basically, it will calculate all kinds of thresholds for different data. If at any point the results from database are out of the threshold or deviate too much, then it will just let the users know automatically. So you don't have to keep an eye on it every day, write any kind of complicated SQL queries. It will do everything automatically and will just let you know when there are some kind of deviations in data.
Okay. Any plans on the anomaly detection? Since we already mentioned that, so for me it's interesting, how are you looking at this problem, right, from your product's perspective?
Yeah. The anomaly detection from our side is done with the data profiling. Just for example, I've been part of a project where we profiled a a large retail chain's cash register data, and we detected a major increase in the average quantity, rising nearly 4,000% overnight. So using our profiling engine. And we also detected different kinds of anomalies in prices inserted into the system of the products bought by customers, with some prices being 10,000 times more than the original price. So all of this had very major impact on the analytics and reporting, with them being invalid and not usable. So this anomaly detection, it's kind of already implemented into our profiling system, and it works quite well, I would say.
Ah, okay. So it's basically based on the what already it has seen. So it's like, you know, like checking if the value's in range, right? The percentages of nulls, not nulls, these kind of things. And then if something goes off, like it sends a notification or alert for the people actually to check if it's valid or not, right?
Yeah, so it basically creates a pattern from the data. Let's say a profiling is executed every morning at 9. So it creates this pattern. If anything deviates, it will mark it with a red flag. And if a alert is being has been set up, then it can send an alert to like email or Slack or Teams.
Okay. Yeah, so when you mentioned also like, you know, that your product is SQL based, so it kind of brings me back to a previous question we talked about, like companies' prerequisites, right? So in this case, data education or like data literacy, and how that part plays a role in general of like company being a data driven, right? So what would you say in your like eyes are needed, or like the minimal things needed for company to be like minimally data literate?
Yeah, I guess it would be, first of all, have the correct tooling in place. Don't use Excel for your analysis. Use the tools that are meant for that. Luckily for us, many of the applications already automate a lot of the processes. So often you do not even need to use SQL, especially from the analytics side. Yeah, I would say correct tooling, of course, as we are dealing with data, then SQL is quite universal and used pretty much everywhere. So that's a really good starting point.
When you mentioned Excel, and like, you know, oh, no, not use Excel for this, and like, people are gonna get mad about it, because like, all the companies I worked, like they had some process which relied on in multiple Excel files or multiple Google Sheets. Have never seen a place where they're not using something like this. It's like a disease. And I have a feeling, you know, that with Python crawling into there, it's going to be even worse from time to time. But on the other hand, if it gets the job done, like, I don't judge. But yeah, Excel is a pain, and it drives me crazy each time I see, you know, some crucial process there.
Finally, like, I've seen a Excel table with defined SQL statements in the Excel. It was directly connected to a database, so the queries were executed from the Excel to validate some data. I mean, it works. It's very difficult to manage.
Same experience, but on a different front, where we had in Google Sheets. We have cells with SQL to be executed, and they were executed on AVS Lambda functions on specific database. So I'm like, why? But sure, why not? Anyway, so, you know, that's are like, you know, the interesting approaches. Talking about SQL, right? So SQL in general, I wouldn't say that it's quite an easy language to like be very, very like super proficient in it. Right. Mm-hmm. So what would you say, you know, are actual like needs, like what are the basic functions or like methods needed for actually to be like good in the, you know, in creating rules, you know, either with your tool, right, or with any other, for any
data. With data validation, it is actually not much is needed. So it's basically where filters, mostly for testing data, filters enough will allow you to create various rules for data testing. Because how I recommend to formulate test cases for data is to count for rows that are invalid. So you would expect the query to return just a aggregated zero. So you would filter rows with some specific values that you expect to not exist in the table. And if at any point that query returns like more than zero rows, then you know that there are a lot of rows in it and the test has failed.
Okay. So like for me, like I'll narrow down for some people how to know. So it's like SQL execution order and basic select statement. That's more than enough to get you started. Yes. And if you're even savvy enough and you know some fancy having, you know, like complex filtering, you're golden. Like no need for any row numbers or like window functions, because usually, you know, that's where the mistakes happen. And that's more than it, right? And usually people don't go and create seven table joins, right? Actually on these data quality checks, right? Because they run it
mostly
on single table.
Yeah, it would have to be like very specific business rule or like validating some kind of script that's written by data engineers. Most commonly, no, it's simple select statements with some filters.
Yeah, I guess also follows the the referential integrality tests, right? Where you check if all values exist in one on the other, right? Is that you get joins. Let's see if you haven't missed anything. But that's very corner cases, and I guess most business users who are creating this, they don't actually kind of need to do that. And this mostly falls on the like data team in general, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so so my question is, right, you're into the whole company, Lightech, is in a quite competitive and quite big market, right? We have players like very big ones like Monte Carlo, Cifle, like Soda is trying to, you know, do a lot of things and discovering, you know, data observability. Then you mentioned you have data catalog and there are even other area of this, right, which you're competing. So what makes you here stand out? Like apart from, you know, that, you know, we're from Baltics and Baltic people usually, you know, tend to, you know, stick up for other, you know, neighboring countries.
Yeah. Well, first off, the application itself, it's very easy to set up and with variety of deployment methods available for both on-premise and cloud. The application itself is very intuitive and easy to use. So we put very much effort into user experience and automation. The application, of course, suits company of any size. So we have users from rather small companies where only one person is using the application. While we also have users from large multinational banks, where multiple teams making use of the application. The application is very dynamic, so all validations and profilings can be customized. There are no hidden queries that are run in the background. Nothing is hard-coded, which is very often done. Our developments are also very much feedback-based, as we always value a good input from users to develop the best solution for their needs. We also see customer support is very important for users. So I think we excel in that as well. And that's based on endorsements, not just my thinking.
Well, okay, yeah. The customer support, I guess, is very, very important because actually when you encounter some issues, you have to, you know, figure them out and talk with people actually to help them solve them. And for you, like you mentioned, with the feedback, the quality feedback in this one, right, helps you adopt the product in the right way.
Yeah,
so that sounds exactly like a, you know, win-win situation because you're developing product for them to use and they're getting, you know, the value out of, you know, actually by using it. Another question what pops into my mind is actually about the different database engines, right? So in your case, you don't have to think how to, you know, like make the query more optimized, right? If it's like joins or whatnot, right? Because it's for the users. So
yes.
Are there plans to actually add more like no code or low code features, which would allow for the users to actually tackle that way?
There is. So currently we are developing a way of basically an additional functionality on top of our profiling engine, where we will calculate different kinds of correlations between columns and data in the columns. So our application would automatically recommend users specific business rule validation. So it will put the SQL together by itself and just allow users to insert that as a test case and start using it. But what we are also building is a kind of query builder. So business users can kind of drag and drop different filters together to build validations as well. So they don't specifically have to write the SQL, but they can just select the object they want to test. They can select the columns they want to filter and test case with that.
Ah, that's nice. So it will allow a lot of less SQL savvy people to get into the data observability here. Another question, you know, like since we talked and I mentioned the LLMs, you know, like all of the ChatGPTs and other, you know, in general, generative AI, how do you think, you know, it will change or like what it will add for data observability in general?
Yeah, so I see a lot of potential for large language models being integrated into data observability. So especially for creating data validations based on collected data from test results, profiling, metadata, but also creating validations from natural language, allowing for more use cases for business users. There definitely is a use case for LLMs, and I think the future is heading towards that.
Nice. Any plans for LIHTC to actually try something out or like add ML capabilities for users?
So we currently have like more simple machine learning models or statistical models in place to detect those deviations and anomalies, and also to calculate the correlations between values and columns. We have some plans in the future to integrate more complex models as well, but I'm not going to go into details at the moment with that.
Okay, but that makes sense, I guess, you know, and like when you mentioned statistics models, right, and like people are like already jumping the train and like, oh, we're going to do some complex models, but in the majority of the cases, actually, it's more than enough, you know, to use something simple, because it does gets the job done, and it doesn't add a lot of complexity for other people later to maintain and for you to understand, right?
Exactly. From my experience, simple regression calculations are enough to detect different kinds of anomalies in data, because most commonly data is growing linearly in the databases. And if there are any deviations, if there's some kind of mistake in development, someone joined some data that duplicated everything, then it can be detected from simple regression already.
Exactly. Like, don't reinvent the wheel. Use simple things, and only then, you know, look for something more complex. Nice. So, I think, one last question, which I like think we didn't cover, is actually, you know, we talked about, you know, companies establishing, you know, like data culture, and in some cases, you know, they say that we're doing that, but they're after a month or so, oh, it's hard, we're not gonna do it, or it's not the focus or whatnot, right? That's one thing. Then they're gonna say, oh, we're gonna do a data observability. How to put those like basic habits a part of your company's culture so it wouldn't be, you know, a periodical approach, right? A month or two or something like that. Are there any like suggestions you would give for the companies in this side?
It can be quite difficult, So I think data observability cannot be enforced in a way that it complicates a job for a data engineer or a data analyst. It should complement their workflow and ease their day-to-day tasks. So the value of using data observability solutions should be clear for both the company and also for the data teams and the engineers and analysts who are using the solutions. So,
Okay. So actually then the spokesperson for actually pushing these things should be actually the data team. And the data team should have a voice actually to push that information, you know, for through the rest of the company, right?
Yeah. Most commonly, it depends on the structure of the company. Most commonly, it is like a data solution architect, data who most successfully pushes those things. If the necessity comes down from the top, from the stakeholders, then it can get more difficult, but then you will know that the problem already exists at the top. You should have done something
true. Before. And sometimes, you know, there's a... true. And like also, you know, when it comes from top, right, you have to first understand if it's actually a problem. And that's what the expertise of the data team should come in. So it wouldn't be, you know, the HIPPO, the highest paid person opinion, right? Where they say, we're going to do this, but we don't actually need to do this. We're not chasing the hype. It's not the need and so on.
That won't work. That's just enforcing something that the engineers who already have so much on the table. So
that's true. Okay. So I think I've asked all of the questions which are interesting for me in this area. So any final thoughts or like takeaways you'd like to share with the listeners about data observability?
My recommendation is to get started with data observability early. Also, do not overthink it and overdo it. Start simple. If any of the listeners would like to discuss any specific use cases with me, then I am always open for a call. And if you are at any point looking at testing out the Leaptex data observability solution, then be sure to mention Uncle Data Podcast as well for the extended chat.
And I'm going to put a link in the video, which should be somewhere. I'll try to put it somewhere here in the editing. And you can also check on the comments and the description of the podcast. So you can follow up and, check out the tool. And as well, follow Raiko and connect with him on LinkedIn. So thank you, Raiko. It was a very interesting chat about data observability. And was really interesting to hear about LiTech and what it does and what its purpose is. And thank you for the listeners. See you in the next episodes. And for you, Raiko, have a nice day.
Thank you. You too.